Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.
It's good to be back.
This is part six in our 10-part audio series, and we're exploring the history of Afrin using the sources you've shared with us.
And today, we're zoning in on a really critical period, the 19th century.
You're right. The goal here is to understand how Afrintown, the place we know today, really started to become, well, significant in the region during this time.
Yeah, how it emerged. And we're looking at quite a mix of materials for this. Ottoman administrative notes, for instance.
And accounts from travelers, scholars, people who passed through.
Exactly. Plus, historical research focused on the economy, the social life back then.
So the setting is the Kurd-Dagh region, the mountain of the Kurds, historically Kurdish, as the name suggests.
And in the 1800s, it's part of the Ottoman Empire, of course. But it had its own feel, its own connections, especially to nearby centers like Kilis and the big city, Aleppo.
Okay, so let's start there. What do the sources tell us about Kurd-Dagh in the 19th century? What was the sort of baseline?
Well, the picture painted is mountainous, naturally, but with fertile spots, especially along the rivers. The economy was overwhelmingly agricultural.
And olives seem absolutely key here. The sources really hammer this home, don't they? The olive groves.
Oh, definitely. Olives, olive oil production. Hugely important, but pastoralism too, raising animals, wool, that sort of thing, and grains, of course.
But it wasn't just people farming to feed themselves.
No, not at all. The whole economic setup seems geared outwards.
Towards Kilis and Aleppo.
Exactly. Those were the crucial markets for selling olives, oil, grain, wool, animals, whatever the region produced in surplus.
And farming methods. Anything specific in the sources?
Not in great detail for Kurd-Dagh specifically, but the impression is traditional techniques. Mm-hmm. Probably quite similar to what you'd find in other parts of the Aleppo Vilayet in the late 1800s.
Right. And the Vilayet, just for clarity, that's a major Ottoman province.
Precisely. So you have this agricultural economy linked outwards. And the Ottoman administration is there. But it seems they often worked with or through existing local power structures.
You mean the agas?
Yes, the agas, these powerful local figures. Their influence stemmed from lineage, but increasingly, as the century went on, it became tied to land ownership.
So the Ottomans dealt with them?
Often, yes. It was practical. There was that big empire-wide reform, the 1858 Land Code, trying to formalize land registration.
How did that play out in Kurd-Dagh, according to the sources? Did it change things much for the agas?
Well, the sources we have on its specific impact there are a bit limited. But the suggestion is, while it aimed to formalize things, it might have actually, perhaps unintentionally, ended up strengthening the hand of those already powerful.
The agas.
Yeah, the landowning agas. They were often better placed to navigate the new bureaucracy, register lands. It shows that dynamic, you know, between central reforms and local realities.
Okay, so we have the backdrop. Kurdish region, mountains, olive-focused agriculture, linked to Aleppo and Kilis, Ottoman rule, but strong local aga influence. Now, the really interesting part you flagged.
Yes.
Afrintown itself. The sources suggest it emerges as a market center during this century.
This is the key development for this period. It implies Afrin wasn't, say, an ancient city suddenly rediscovered, or an administrative center founded by decree right then. It grew organically.
As a place for trade.
Exactly. A practical spot for economic activity within Kurd-Dagh.
It makes sense, doesn't it? A natural meeting point for farmers, pastoralists from the villages around.
Mm-hmm. To bring their goods, maybe trade amongst themselves, or gather stuff before the longer trip to Kilis or Aleppo.
And this must have been tied to the olives.
Absolutely. That strong olive economy would fuel a market center like this. You can almost picture it. Carts coming in, maybe some early processing starting to cluster there. The economy converging on Afrin.
But it wasn't just about buying and selling, was it? The sources suggest Afrin's role grew beyond commerce.
That's right. It also became an important node in the social and, significantly, the religious life of the region.
How so?
The sources point to prominent Sufi figures being based in Afrintown.
Like Sheikh Hasan al-Naqshbandi.
Precisely him. He's described as the leading sheikh of the Naqshbandiya Sufi order for the whole region. His zawiya, his lodge in Afrin, was a pilgrimage destination.
So a major religious center developing there.
Yes. And it wasn't just him. His grandfather was also revered locally as a saint. So there's deep spiritual authority rooted in the town.
And these Sufi networks connected to Afrin, they did more than just spiritual guidance.
Oh, much more. They were like mediators, connecting the rural Kurd-Dagh villages with urban Aleppo.
How did that work?
They acted as conduits, really, for people moving back and forth, for goods, for ideas. Mm-hmm. Sources show that Sufi lodges in Aleppo provided support networks for migrants from Kurda.
Helping them find work, maybe?
Yeah.
Keeping connections?
Exactly. Hmm. Maintaining ties to home, preserving identity.
Yeah.
They even used the Kurmanji dialect in some religious settings in Aleppo, which is quite telling about maintaining that specific Kurdish connection.
And you mentioned pilgrimage sites earlier, like Nabi Huri. Were they part of this picture too?
Yes, they were part of this broader spiritual landscape. People traveling to these shrines would have likely passed through or interacted with the networks centering on Afrin. It shows Afrin wasn't just becoming an economic point, but a social and spiritual hub too.
A multifaceted center.
Mm-hmm.
It's also useful, isn't it, to see how outsiders saw the region back then?
Yes, the 19th century European travelers and scholars, people like Edward Sexau, he traveled there around 1879, 1880, and Vital Cunet, whose big surveys came out in the 1890s.
What do they tell us?
They were trying to document the Ottoman provinces, geography, administration, economy. So they give us an external view of the Aleppo Vilayet, the Kilis area, how it was categorized from the outside.
Though they often found it hard to get exact local data.
But they did. They mentioned the difficulties with precise statistics from the Ottoman admin. But their accounts still offer valuable perspectives.
And then there are these little nuggets from local sources cited in the research.
Yeah, like mentions in newspapers published in Aleppo, Al-Jawib in 1872, Al-Farat in 1887.
What sort of things did they mention?
Things referencing local figures from the Kurdag area may be involved in certain events, or local notables being appointed to minor administrative roles. Little glimpses of everyday connections within the Ottoman framework.
And you mentioned infrastructure earlier, the olive presses.
Right, that's a very concrete detail. The sources mention olive oil presses, soap factories. One source even gives numbers. 13 presses and 9 soap factories in the center district.
The center district! That strongly implies Afrin town, doesn't it? A concentration of activity.
It really points that way. It suggests the olive economy wasn't just happening out there. It was being processed, industrialized to a degree, right in this emerging hub toward the end of the 19th century.
And throughout all this, the agas are still major players.
Oh, yes. Local power structures persisted. The agas continued to wield considerable influence, adapting to the changing Ottoman administrative scene, but remaining central to social and economic life in the region.
You know, going through all this detail, it feels like we've covered quite a bit.
It's a dense period. Lots of threads coming together.
It really is. Okay, before we try and pull it all into focus, hang on. Is that...
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Sounds like perfect timing.
Hannah, the Chai Lady, is here. Roj Bosch, Hannah.
Rose Bosch. Perfect timing indeed. Let's see. How's the chai looking today, Hannah?
Is it good? Sometimes it can be a little bitter. It needs a tiny bit more sugar. You know, what's the verdict?
Pause. Ah, it smells wonderful. Looks just right today.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Hannah. We needed this.
Cheers. Thank you.
Right. Welcome back, everyone. Feeling suitably refreshed with some excellent chai.
Much better.
Let's try and synthesize what we've been discussing about Afrin in the 19th century. Pull those threads together.
Okay. So we started with the foundation, didn't we? The Kurdag region itself, the geography, the agricultural economy, focusing on olives and animals, the existing social structure with the agas.
All within the Ottoman framework, but very much linked to Kilis and Aleppo.
Right. And then the crucial thing we identified from the sources, the emergence of Afrin town.
Not as some grand imperial project, but growing organically as a market center.
Becoming that practical hub.
Yeah.
The place where the local economy kind of coalesced, where farmers brought their goods, where trade happened internally before potentially going further afield.
And it wasn't just economics. It also became a key point in those social and religious networks.
Especially the Sufi orders centered right there in town, connecting the rural hinterland to Aleppo, providing support, maintaining identity.
We saw glimpses of this through different lenses, the European travelers, the local newspaper snippets, those specific numbers about presses and factories.
Yeah, all pieces of evidence pointing to this growing centrality.
So understanding this 19th century story is vital because it sets the stage, doesn't it? It shows Afrin establishing itself as a regional center based on function trade, social ties, religion, before the big political and border changes of the 20th century came along.
Exactly. It's a story of organic growth, driven by the realities on the ground, the economy, the culture, the geography. Its significance grew from its function, not just from a line drawn on a map yet.
So thinking about what this all means, the 19th century was formative. Afrintown solidified as a place not because of formal administration primarily, but because it worked as a market, as a social and religious connector for the Kurd-Daw region.
It really underscores how local factors, the economy, the cultural networks, can be powerful drivers in shaping a place's importance and identity, even within a huge empire.
Which leaves us with a really interesting question to ponder, doesn't it? How did these specific characteristics, being a bustling market, a hub for these deep-rooted social and religious networks, how did that foundation, forged in the 19th century, influence Afshin's path? How did it shape its resilience, its identity, as it entered the much more turbulent waters of the 20th century with new borders, new powers, new conflicts?
That's definitely something to keep in mind as we move forward. A crucial question.
Indeed. Thank you for joining us for this exploration of 19th century Afrin. Please do join us next time as we continue our journey through the history of Afrin in part 7 of the Kurdish Research Audio Archive.